Terrified. Everything has been defiled. At least they committed no willful sacrilege, no desecration. The idol and relics remain undisturbed. I had no idea what he was talking about. All the men had long faces. I looked at Narayan over our cook fire. He took my look for a question. Any unbeliever who found the holy relics or the idol would have plundered them. Maybe they were afraid of the curse. His eyes got big. He glanced around, made a gesture urging silence. He whispered, "How did you know that?" These things always have curses, part of their rustic charm. Pardon my sarcasm, I did not feel good. I did not want to spend any more time hanging around the grove. It was not a pleasant place. A lot of people had died there, none of them of old age. The earth was rich with their blood and bones and screams. It had a smell, psychic and physical, probably pleasing to Kina. "How much longer, Narayan? I'm trying to cooperate, but I'm not going to hang around here for the rest of my life."
"Oh, mistress, there will be no festival now. The purification will take weeks. The priests are distraught. The ceremonies have been moved to Nadam. It's only a minor holiday usually, when the bands break up for the off-season and the priests remind them to invoke the Daughter of Night in their prayers. The priests always say the reason she hasn't come yet is we haven't prayed hard enough."
Was he going to dole it out in driblets forever? I guess no one of any religion would have spent much time explaining holidays and saints and such, though. Why are we still here, then? Why aren't we headed south?
"We came for more than the festival."
We had indeed, but how was I supposed to convince these men I was their messiah? Narayan kept the specifications to himself. How could the actress act without being told her role? There was the trouble. Narayan believed I was the Daughter of Night. He wanted me to be, which meant that he would not coach me if I asked. He expected me to know instinctively. And I did not have a clue. The Jamadar seemed disappointed and Narayan nervous. I was not living up to expectations and hopes, even if I had discovered that their temple had been profaned. In a whisper, I asked, "Am I expected to do holy deeds in a place no longer holy?"
"I don't know, mistress. We have no guideposts. It's all in the hands of Kina. She will send an omen."
Omens. Wonderful. I had had no chance to bone up on omens the cult considered significant. Crows were important, of course. Those men thought it wonderful that Taglian territory was infested by carrion birds. They thought that presaged the year of the skulls. But what else was significant? "Are comets important to you?" I asked. "In the north, last year and once earlier, there were great comets. Did you see them down here?"
"No, comets are bad omens."
"They were for me."
"They have been called Sword of Sheda, or Tongue of Sheda, Sheda Linka, that shed the light of Sheda upon the world."
Sheda was an archaic form of the name of the chief Guni god, one of whose titles was Lord of Lords of Light. I suspected the deceiver cults believed I had taken a left turn off the trunk of Guni beliefs a few thousand years ago. He said,
"The priests say Kina is weakest when a comet is in the sky, for then light rules heaven day and night.
But
the moon is the light of darkness. The moon belongs to shadow, put up so shadow's creatures may hunt."